You're reciting Surah An-Nahl, Surah Al-Isra, Surah Al-Kahf. Alhamdulillah, wonderful surahs, wonderful ayat. A lot of knowledge, wisdom in every ayah that we recited. The general theme of Surah An-Nahl has to do with In'am, ni'am, the bounties of Allah, various gifts that Allah has given in terms of the terrestrial gifts of animals and landmarks, and then you had the celestial gifts of the sun, the moon, the stars. Then he had the marinal gifts of fish and the pearls that we extract from the sea. And the whole surah, the theme is about Allah's ni'am, Allah's gifts. So this is throughout the surah, you'll see this very common theme that you can do. At the end, there's a mention of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The question is, why is he mentioned in the surah of gifts? Because he himself is a great gift to mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses Ibrahim as a specimen, as a representative of all of mankind, that he is the ummah in one man. Ummatan, he is an ummah. He represents everything that an ummah has within it. So whatever millah, civilizational values you have in a millah, you'll find all of them in one person. That is Ibrahim, and that definitely is a gift that you have a human being who's a role model for all of mankind in one person. Embodies all the in'amat wa atainahu fi dunya hasana, that we gave him good in this world, hasana in this world. We make the dua rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Usually we mean, yeah, give me a good life, give me a nice mansion, give me nice cars, and, yeah, nice women and clothing and food. That's what we mean. Here Allah says, wa atainahu fi dunya hasana. We gave Ibrahim hasana in the dunya, but what did he have? He didn't have mansions. He had a wife, but she was old. Until he got the other one. He didn't have plenty of money. Well, Allah says, we gave him hasana in the dunya. So what is the hasana there? So you want to extract, you know, these secular values in your du'as also. But there's nothing there that you can say, oh, you looked at Ibrahim, a common, simple man. He had some goats here and there, some sheep. Yeah, alhamdulillah gave him children at the end of his life. There's nothing, you know, super about Ibrahim's material life that you can say, atinahu fid dunya hasana, we gave him hasana in the dunya. Right? So if you are the kind of, you know, secular-minded Muslim, say, okay, well, what is this hasana, the Ibrahim? So you're trying to find maybe a tafsir where they might say, well, he had plenty of money, or he had this and that. No, he had nothing. But even though he had nothing materialistically, Allah says, we gave him hasana. So in the dua, when you're asking Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, which hasana are you talking about? Is it material hasana, the wealth, name and fame? And he was a simple man, mashallah. Unassuming man, not too many people knew him either. Right? So what is that hasana? The awliya, they ask this question. What is the hasana Allah gave Ibrahim? Fid dunya, in the dunya. We can't see it because we're so, you know, drowned in the material world, we can't see anything beyond our noses. So there the hasana, the ulama say, are the values of the millah, the great characters and the characteristics of qurbani, sacrifice. Allah gave him that, which is a hasana. The idea of being able to sacrifice for Allah is a hasana. The idea of being able to make hijrah for Allah, that's a hasana. Do we have these values? We call them values in our lingo. We call them values, but do we actually value them as real values? Are they tangible enough? Say, Allah, give me the ability to do what Ibrahim did. Give me the hasana you gave Ibrahim. We won't say that because we want money. Right? This is stuck in the cesspit of the dunya. We won't even go there. But Allah says we gave him hasana. These are these akhlaq, these moral values, and these civilizational values that we gave Ibrahim. And we gave Ibrahim the value of hard work. He represented hard work, sa'i. And his family, Safa, Marwa, Sa'i, same word. We gave him the value of patience. We gave him the value of tawheed. We gave the value of trust in Allah. This is the hasana. Allah speaks about when he says, we gave Ibrahim hasana in the dunya. So now you have to amend your thinking of the dua in Surah Baqarah, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, Allah give us hasana in the dunya. So what is Allah saying? So now you have to make sure the Quran is consistent in meaning. Right? Otherwise you'll be inconsistent with that interpretation in your Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. That doesn't mean what you think it means. It means what Allah gave Ibrahim, the hasana Allah gave him. These values, these civilizational values, the values of taqwa, the values of tawakkul, the values of sabr, the value of sacrifice, the value of hijrah, the value of belief in Allah, the value of tawheed, this is hasana. So that's how Ibn Sina. Now, Allah says this, that we made Ibrahim an ummah, which is a great ni'mah for all of mankind. That giving mankind Ibrahim is a huge gift from Allah. And we must see him that way. He's a gift. He's a gift to us, a gift to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a gift to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow his millah, huh? Everything. And we mention him in our durood Ibrahim as a gift. We thank him in our durood. As a gift, we were honoring and recognizing the gift that Ibrahim is and his family is to us. Anyway, that's just the consistency of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you want to understand Islam, you have to remove the dunya from your understanding. Otherwise, it'll be a hodgepodge, total distortion of Islam. Yeah. You can't understand Islam if you love the dunya. It's not possible. Okay, you have a vessel. In the vessel, you have milk. If the milk is filled to the brim, you can't pour wine into it. So that's what Muslims do. You have a vessel called Islam, and there's already milk in there, there's knowledge in there, but we pour wine into it, which is the dunya. We adulterate, and then we say, oh, this is Islam. Now, this is secular Islam. So you don't want to do that, and it messes up your understanding. So be genuine, be honest, be sincere. Okay. Understand Islam the way Ibrahim understood Islam, the way the Prophet understood Islam, and the way Sahaba understood. They never adulterated Islam with the dunya. So this is how, you see, this is a ni'mah. Understanding Allah, understanding the Anbiya is a ni'mah from Allah. The next surah, Surah Al-Isra, subhanAllah, so many amazing points, mashallah, alhamdulillah. The major, I think the theme here, consistent theme is sultan. The word sultan occurs in the surah at least three times. وَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِّيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا fil-qatl, then you have authority and power. That, you know, the authority and power to kill another human being is a supreme sultan, supreme power and authority. But only if it is in retribution, only if that person has killed someone that you know in your family, then you have this legal authority to kill and take that person's life, which is an authority. It mentions from the beginning of the surah, I have the Banu Israel, they you know, messed up this sultan from Allah. Then the other places, وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا, that give me from your side a tremendous help to overcome the kuffar and to conquer Makkah and go into the Kaaba as victorious. So that is sultan, that's authority and power. And then there's the idea of the shaitan not having any sultan. In the ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan, that my servants, you have no sultan authority over my servants, Allah says to the devil. So the whole theme there is about the sultan, the authority, the power. It is with that sultan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his Isra journey from Makkah to Baytul Maqdis. The same sultan, same authority, the same power. So the whole surah revolves around one theme, which is sultan, power, authority. But from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah can give you sultan. So if you want sultan, then you have to understand Surah Al-Isra from the beginning to the end, and you'll see, you'll get there, inshallah. Yeah? Anyway, so you guys can think about it, look at the surah and see if it fits into your understanding. So Surah Kahf, obviously an amazing surah. The wonderful ayat, or the major theme there is that what is hidden in the creation of Allah is exposed in Surah Al-Kahf. So you have the story of the seven sleepers, their number was hidden, and the amount of time that they spent in the cave, that was hidden, so Allah exposes that. Yeah, also that, you know, in Allah's creation, there are creation who are hidden from people, and you don't know who they are, but they are not prophets. So in the surah, Allah mentions non-prophets, like Ashabul Kahf. They're non-prophets, but they're ayat min ayatillah, they're signs of Allah. Khidr is a non-prophet. He's exposed. Right? Yeah, so the exposure of hidden realities in the world is a theme of Surah Kahf. And then at the end, Dhul Qarnayn is a hidden person, and Allah exposes him. Yeah, so these secrets come out in Surah Kahf, that you're in the cave now. If you want to know what's in the cave, you have to go there. Yeah, but you can't go there without a guard dog. Yeah. The guard dog is Sharia. He won't let you in if you don't have Sharia. Ironically, Musa had Sharia, but Khizr didn't let him in. That's the paradox and the irony of the story. I have Sharia, what are you doing? I'm following the Sharia. You can't kill somebody for no reason. So I can. I can do anything I want. I'm Khizr. You're Musa. You follow Sharia. You leave this to me, and you leave your Sharia to yourself. So the hidden realities of people who are non-prophets are mentioned in this surah to show human beings that non-prophets can also become close to Allah and become amazing, amazing representatives of Allah's power, Allah's authority, Allah's knowledge. So that's Surah Kahf is giving us hope as non-prophets that we can also become close to Allah if we follow Allah's rules and regulations. So, I mean, these surahs, they're obviously amazing, they're miraculous. Every ayah is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm just teasing you guys about some of these ideas that, you know, it comes under tafsir. But the more you open up your minds to the Quran, you'll see that there are so many hidden gems there. We don't have time, otherwise, you know, I could spend the the next 5 hours is explaining all of these hidden gems. The story of Musa and Khidr, there are words that Allah uses in them. One is that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's irada, the idea of irada, the idea of volition, the idea of intent. So in the first story where Khidr bores a hole into the ship, he says, "Aradtu an a'ibaha," I intended, okay, to, you know, what do you call it, destroy the ship, to make the ship deficient. I intended. So that was his irada. And in the story of the killing the boy, he says, "Aradna," we intended, meaning he included Allah in that intent. And in the story of now rebuilding the wall, is for arada rabbuka, your Lord intended. And then on top of that, just to tease us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَوَجَدَا فِيهَا جِدَارًا يُرِيدًا يُنْقَضًا, that they found a wall. The wall intended to fall. Real teaser. You think you're smart? Work this out. Right? The jidar, the wall, yuridu. Yuridu means to intend, right? Arada yuridu. The wall intended to fall. Yuridu ayin qadda. So where does the wall get the irada from? The intent from. These are the hidden gems that you can think of the whole night if you want. Good luck with it. I'm not telling you. But some things are better left secrets in the world. But this is how Allah Khidr is saying that divine irada sometimes is represented by a human being, where a human being can cause harm to other human beings by boring a hole in the ship. Aradtu, I wanted to make the ship deficient. And then the other one, that when it comes to killing, you can't have killing unless you have sultan, you have authority from Allah. So that he included Allah in that intention. It wasn't just my intention, Allah's intention, to kill the guy. So we killed him. And the third one, because it was long-term planning, that the wall will be there, and I have to fix the wall so that 7 generations later, the family of these orphans will then reap the benefit of the treasure underneath the wall. So he says, I can't plan that far. Allah can plan that far. So my Lord wanted me to do this. I did it based on following the intent. What is Allah's intent? So Sharia is about understanding Allah's intent. What is the intent of Allah for me on this occasion? Time for prayer comes. What is Allah's intent? Well, Allah's intent for me is to pray. So Sharia is based on understanding the intent of Allah. Once you know that, then you become a faqih. And your whole life is spent around understanding Allah's intent. What is Allah's intent? This guy, he's about to die. Do we pull the plug or not? Back and forth, we had a 40-minute discussion. We're still none the wiser. We don't know what the heck Allah's intent is. Do we kill him? Do you not kill him? You can't kill him because you don't have sultan. It's a grave sin if you do killing for no reason. So now you have to make ijtihad and struggle, and you have to go through the mill and process of this way and this way. You have to talk, you have to negotiate, you have to discuss, you have to, you know, wreck your brain, you have to scratch your head, and you have to bang your head, and you have to tell each other, no, you're wrong, no, you know, you're wrong. That's working for Allah's intent. You're trying to identify what is Allah's intent vis-a-vis this patient. Do I pull the plug? Don't pull the plug. What do you do? Right? So Sharia is based on understanding Allah's intent and then executing it. Not just understanding, but you have to execute it too. Right? So this is how you see now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these amazing, amazing ayat and surahs is bringing out all these gems. That's for all of us, inshallah, to work towards understanding. Allah give us all the fahm of the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to practice the Quran, and accept us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khair khalqi Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya Rahman.